drawing room over here.
You made it. Oh, come on through. Do you fancy a drink? What's your tipple? Welcome to The Drawing Room, a space for intimate and surprising conversations. I'm Andy Park. From the start, Camp Cope have won over fans with their open-hearted songs about love and loss and sex and sexism. Their latest, Running with the Hurricane, is a gentler record released at a time when we could all do with a little gentleness. Am I right? But of course, it's no less honest. The band are setting out on their first Australian tour in quite some time, but before that, Georgia McDonald and Kelly Helmrich are my guests tonight in The Drawing Room. Welcome to you both. Come on in, take a seat.
Thank you so much.
Hello, thank you so much. Hi. For having us. We will sit down.
It's nice to have people in the studio. We don't often get that privilege, so it's actually nice to have you sitting in the wingback chairs against the open fire. Let's talk about the Camp Cope story. For listeners who might not be aware of your origin story, if you were superheroes, what is your origin story as friends and as a band?
So, Georgia, I was playing solo for many years just around the town, and then I met Tomo, who plays drums in Camp Cope, and we were just friends for a while. And then I saw that she had a drum kit in her house once, and I was like, you play drums? Because I was thinking about starting a band.
And it's so such a Melbourne origin story, yeah, of just collecting musicians as you go,
yeah,
along.
Yeah. And then one fateful night, I was getting a tattoo, and I was sitting on a kitchen table in this guy's house in Footscray, and Kelly walks in.
That tattoo?
No.
On your arm? No.
Where is it? It's on your leg.
Why would you point to that? There's so many.
That looks like a kitchen tattoo.
Where do I start? It's the only one I could see.
No, that was done in the lounge room, actually. Very different. No, it's on my leg. And then Kelly walked in, and she was like, oh, yeah, like play music. And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what do you play?
She's very intense as well. I thought this woman hated me. She was like, what do you play? And I was like, oh, bass guitar. And she's like, right, nothing else. And then I was like, okay, that was it.
That was the end of the conversation. And then I asked my friend to ask Kelly if she wanted to jam with me and Tomo.
It was like a high school. Like, can you ask her if she'll?
I was too nervous.
So I just messaged her straight away. And I was like, why are you too scared to talk to me? Yeah, I'll come jam with you.
Were you actually intimidated by her, Kelly?
Yeah, because I thought she was really cool.
I can sense that. And, I mean, it's the dream for every up-and-coming band. But what happens when things start to go well? You know, you start to get played on the radio. People start to talk about you. There's expectations. You've talked about how tired you were at the end of four straight years of recording and touring.
We toured for
a long time, many years.
Many years straight before COVID, and it never felt like it was ever going to stop, really. And yeah, COVID was that stop, which was really confronting. But when we started, we just never stopped. We worked so hard, and that was like first in the city of Melbourne. We were playing multiple shows a week, every week, working full-time jobs as well. And then eventually got enough money to go interstate, and then overseas was like the biggest dream.
Yeah.
I had to get a passport for the band because I had never thought I'd ever be able to afford to go overseas, and then had to get one because we got it offered a tour overseas, which was really huge.
You know you've made it when you're getting a passport to
go
and play a gig. That is like, blue ribbon.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you plan to record a new album in Philadelphia in March of 2020. How much changed after that point? Most of these tracks were written after that, I believe.
Oh, only two songs were written after like the pandemic started. So it would have been a completely different record if we'd went to Philadelphia in March 2020 and recorded what would have been the third Camp Cope album. But I think it was good like having a year to kind of like ruminate and think about the songs more. And like in that time I was like making all this weird like pop music in my house alone, because that's all, like 2020, you just got everyone into really weird hobbies. Like everyone went through like the bread making phase, like sourdough, and
yours was pop music.
Mine was pop music. So I took a lot and like experimenting with using my voice as an instrument, and so I took a lot of that into the Camp Cope record.
So does that mean that there's a missing Camp Cope record, if you like? There's one sort of set of songs still on the shelf, or
there are some songs on the shelf, but
there's some songs.
We're not a band that ever goes back to the shelf.
Yeah,
we
they
never
stay
go
on
back.
The shelf. Yeah,
well, that happens when you die, right? That's when your family cashes in on your estate, Jeff Buckley style, and re-releases your back catalogue.
Imagine
that's your inheritance.
I hope not.
Which one?
Can we put that on
killed?
The record that you're not allowed to do that?
So Running with the Hurricane still sounds like a Camp Cope song, but it is a noticeable departure from your previous work. The album feels like it's been pretty universally embraced, but were you worried about the reception at all?
Big time worried.
I was, for the most part, excited because I really liked the record and, like, I, like, was excited for people to hear it because it's like, hey, here's some new art that we made. And, like, I don't know, art is subjective and, like, if someone doesn't like it, if they do like it, like, it's kind of all the same.
But you guys are different because you said that
I was worried. I was so worried about not so much like what people would think, but more like changing as a band. We got additional members. We got new instruments. It was like a huge change and just of not just sound, but like dynamic. So it can be a bit scary when you're doing the same thing for so many years and then you change. But it's an album of change, so we had to embrace it.
Yeah.
So while Georgia was making experimental pop music in lockdown, what was your hobby?
I actually didn't have much time to have a hobby. I was working in early childhood at the time. So I was working all through the pandemic full time. Early childhood education was open and running for people all through the pandemic. So that's what I did, worked.
Wow. Well, that's like an essential service.
Yeah, we were essential. Yeah.
Frontline
Absolutely.
Worker right there.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm.
And when it comes to, I suppose, the return together after you've been apart in different isolation sort of bubbles, if you like, does it take a bit of time to reconnect and warm up again? Or
like it's felt pretty natural. Like we played in Brisbane last weekend and just like from the get-go, from like the start of the set, like it just felt like coming home. Mm. Like it was really like
familiar,
nice, familiar, easy. Comfortable, easy, like exciting because we've got Jenny, our touring member. We had like a special guest come and play saxophone. Like, you know, it felt really good.
Yeah.
And I missed being the center of attention.
At least she's honest. It's all about me. None about COVID, me.
Yeah.
I like it. Here on ABCRN, I'm Andy Park. Kelly Helmrich and Georgia McDonald from Camp Cope are my guests here in the drawing room. And we're about to hear the title track from your new album, Running With The Hurricane. What should we know about this one? What do you want our audience to know?
This is probably like, I'm super proud of this song. Like it feels really good. And so the name Running With A Hurricane came from an old Red Gum song because my dad played in Red Gum.
I love Red Gum.
Oh my God. Yeah. So my dad's Hugh McDonald. So he played in Red Gum.
Oh wow.
And he wrote the best Red Gum song. It's called Diamantina Drover. And also he co-wrote Running With The Hurricane with Michael Atkinson from Red Gum. And so because I own half of it because my dad is now deceased, so I own everything. I can steal it without consequence.
Ah, so you won't run foul of APRA or any kind of issues around copyright because it's all you. So how much of that musical catalogue influenced you growing up?
Oh, I don't like Red Gum.
But you're happy to take some of the good bits, is that it?
But I'm going to take the good bits and make them better, you know? And
because what was that? Caught in the Act. That was
Caught in the Act.
1980, early 80s album.
Yeah. Where they're all like on the cover. Like
Hugh played such an important part
I know,
of like
he was so beautiful.
Our journey as a band too. Like he was in the studio with us for our first album, our second recordings as well, doing like a split. And then I remember for the second album, his absence was really felt. And then there was a song about him on that album. And this one, there's no songs like directly about him, but it's got that homage to him in the title in the song.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen. This is Camp Cope with Running With The Hurricane here in the drawing room.
Well, I can't get out of this hole I've found. I've seen the light, it's not going out. She talks me out. of you to the worst in my
was Running with the Hurricane. Camp Cope are here, Kelly Helmrich and Georgia McDonald in the studio for once, which is an absolute pleasure. And Georgia, I read that you had to have vocal surgery, which must be a pretty terrifying thing.
That was awful.
A musician. Did you have notes or what was the situation?
Yeah, so I developed nodules. So I initially had a bleed on my vocal cord. So it just kind of like ruptured and then eventually developed nodules because it took me a really long time to find out what to do, like how to find like vocal doctors and vocal like, you know, therapists and stuff. So I was going to like a speech therapist and it was just like unhelpful, like didn't work for me. And then I found vocal doctors at the Melbourne Voice Analysis Centre in Melbourne. If anyone needs it, they are lifesavers.
Because a lot of singers in your position don't opt to have surgery because it's just too risky. I mean, you just don't know what the sound that you're going to get.
Yeah. I think my voice has definitely come out stronger. So I had 3 vocal surgeries because I'd get the surgery, we'd go on tour, I didn't know how to sing correctly, and so they'd just keep coming back. So I had 3 of them. And then after that, I learned how to sing. Like I got, like I owe it all to this one singing teacher who I found on TikTok, who I had 2 or 3 like Zoom lessons with. And she's in Scotland, I'm in Melbourne. And she just completely changed like how my voice feels to me. Like, so I use it really well.
So what's the sort of things that she tells you that you haven't heard, you know, from others? I mean, there's so many sort of singing teachers and schools of thought. What does this Scottish vocal teacher do that others can't?
Okay, so you've got your head voice and then you've got your, you got your chest voice and then you've got your head voice. There's a thing called mixed voice, which is in between them, which is a mix of both of those voices.
Soft palate? Is that what you're talking about? In the middle?
I don't know. I don't really know how it works, but she taught me how to access my mixed voice, which allows you to like hit those big high notes without using your chest voice and belting, which can be kind of damaging to your voice if you do it like too often or too hard. So she taught me about mixed voice. And everyone, like if you're listening, like Google it, YouTube it, find exercises if you're a singer to learn about your mixed voice because it has changed everything for me.
And also more sustainable for your career.
Yeah, it's so much more sustainable.
Use your voice. I mean, there's all the sort of singing teas in the world that you can drink before you get on stage. But if you can't back it up every night.
Yeah, you need to be doing it correctly. Yeah. So a lot of musical theatre people use mixed voice because to access it, you have to go like really nasally and like go off like, wah! Like big things, you know, like, a lot of musical theatre performers use mixed voice.
All right.
It's incredible. It was the best thing to learn about.
Do you reckon that I have any head voice? I don't think I've ever
You can probably do it. You can
I
do
just
anything.
I can't get up there like you can.
Like you've got a very low voice.
Yeah, you've got
naturally
a beautiful voice.
Well, the head voice is, so that's the higher tone.
Yeah.
I think we'll just leave it there.
We can put a person on the moon and you can access your head voice.
I'm going to look up this Scottish TikToker. She sounds like she could help everyone. You guys have been a big force in Australian music culture, calling out some deeply, deeply problematic behaviour. Do you think the pause from COVID creates a chance to reimagine the industry, or do you think it will just revert back to the same old patterns, Kelly?
Oh, that's a hard one. I think that the change has been happening before COVID slowly, and we're so grateful to be a part of the people who like spoke up about that change. And we have seen, a lot of things improving.
But it definitely started before us.
Definitely started before us. But with COVID, I think
I'm not quite sure. I think the feeling at the moment is that musicians are just so grateful to be able to work again. And there is definitely a more deeper sense of like community and togetherness. So I hope with that we will move forward in being more understanding and listening to people's personal experiences a bit more. So I am hopeful that COVID will play a part in moving it forward. But I think also people speaking up, like you should always speak up if you experience like inequality or something that you feel is unfair, because we did and it changed a lot of things for us and emerging artists as well.
And nowadays there's all female touring companies, there's a lot more support, I suppose. It's easier to speak up. Is that what you're saying?
I hope so. I hope it feels a bit easier to speak up. I felt like when we did, it wasn't so easy.
But now, because we have the profile that we have and we are incredibly privileged to have the platform that we have, so we can kind of speak about it easily.
People listen.
Yeah.
I think when we were smaller and up and coming, no one really wanted to hear us out. But at that time, there's a real lack of all female rock bands coming out of Australia. And I think that in and itself like shows the inequality, you know. At the time, we were one of the only all female bands. There were plenty of female musicians, but a group of all female. And we travel as well with a female tech, and we have a female audio engineer. So, yeah, at that time it was more difficult, but we hope that it inspires more people to do the same.
We just want music, especially at our shows, to be like a really safe haven for all kinds of people. So for this tour, we've had Auslan interpreters, so that people who are hard of hearing or deaf can come to our show and enjoy it and understand what I'm saying and feel part of it. Like,
there's always improvements you can do.
There's always improvements to be made
to make your show more accessible and comfortable for everybody. And yeah, you can always be thinking forward with that too. For us, it's not just about women, it's about representation for everyone. I think in Australia, there's so many different types of artists from a million different types of backgrounds with different stories, but you really generally only see groups of white men who have a lot of the time gone to the same school or know the same people, and that's not representative of the art we have. So yeah, we're always going to push for that to change.
Speaking about your lyrics, are you aware of the Twitter account, which is just Camp Cope Lyrics, the bot?
Absolutely. Yeah, I talked to them.
Yeah, right, because I saw it and they've tweeted like 29,000 times. I don't know how. I think there must be some repeats in there. I don't know how many lyrics you guys actually have, but that's quite an interesting way, I suppose, to just keep on touching on the meaning of the music without hearing the music in a way.
Yeah, she's a beautiful lyricist. I think it's like one of the most important parts of the songs are those one-liners that stab you in the gut, but then also the ones that make you feel like you're getting a bit of a hug too.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people like come up to me and tell me their story about how like a lyric that I've written has connected to them and their life and their experience. And that's always incredibly, you know, heavy and really meaningful as well.
Well, I know you've just breezed in here from the Rage set where, of course, you are forced to choose lots of songs. I'm going to do it to you again. We always like to hear what songs you want us to hear. Anything you want to choose?
We're going to play Barker, Black Matriarchy. I think she's an incredible artist, activist as well.
Mother. Incredible. She's a force to be reckoned with, and yeah, we just want to fully stand behind her, cheer her on forever.
Absolutely. This song is so powerful, and she's, yes, such a powerful woman. And she's also from Western Sydney like myself, so I have to plug that.
Respect and represent. Look, thank you so much for coming into the drawing room tonight, Georgia and Kelly. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
Georgia McDonald and Kelly Helmrich from Camp Cope have been my guests in the drawing room. Their latest album is called Running with the Hurricane, and they're on tour around Australia right now, starting off tonight at the Enmore Theatre in Sydney. Check online for details. Let's take a listen to the song that they've picked for us. This is Barker with Black Matriarchy, and a language warning on this one.
Is it enough? Can't colonize my black mind. learning from the dream time. I go back. They committed genocide through my tracks. They raped our mothers less than my back. They bought the violence when they attacked. I ain't here to start trouble, I'm just here to state facts. You can't paint me how you wanna paint cracks. And I'm tied to my mob, got my mob on my back. Waratahs are covered in blood, whitewashing our history to cover it up. Proof is all in the pudding, cause this nation couldn't give a fuck about us. We survive unseated, undivided. Our people stay fighting cause the flame is ignited. We stay righteous, we cannot be silenced, cause silence is violence, the reason we're divided. And they choose not to digest the truth, instead they just go ahead and delude our youth. Only love your system cause it just suits you. Give a fuck about the law, yeah, I'd rather grassroots.
And that was Black Matriarchy by Barker, the song chosen by Camp Cope in the drawing room. You've been listening to a podcast of The Drawing Room with me, Andy Park. For more great conversations, search for The Drawing Room on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.